How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
So we're going to talk about taking care of business and finish at least the last 3 points on that. And what I'm going to do in order to save time, and my sequence of slides, instead of taking you through all the first 20, have everybody got the teaching notes ready to go? Okay. Let's pray, and then after we pray, I'm going to skip to where I left off and start where I left off so that we don't do a long review. Okay, would that be okay? Heavenly Father, Father, Heavenly Father, Abba Father, Father of us all, it is you that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. That feels really good. I really feel good. I belong to you, Lord. And you belong to me. You are my Father. And there are so many forces in the world that are trying to alienate us from you and you from us. But we have determined that you already have far too many rebellious children. And these rebellious children surround us. And they want to make us rebellious towards you as well. But we refuse. We refuse rebellion. We refuse wickedness. We refuse anger. We refuse strife. And we choose your way. Peace. Respect for one another. Esteem for one another. And we let it show every time we get an opportunity. And tonight I can say to you, Heavenly Father, I'm glad to be with these, your children who are here, who respect you as Father, who love you as Lord, receive you and your ways. These who reject the rebellious ways of the world, we wish we could change their minds. We wish we could speak to each one of them. We wish it were different for them. And we will try, Lord. But in the meantime, we will not let what's got on them get on us. We will not let what has ruined them by the mass be our ruin. We will cling to you. We will exercise ourselves, that is, go out of our way to stay true to you and to deny access to them. Not giving them access to our way of thinking. We do not want to think the way they think, because our minds have already been transformed by the renewing of your words. We don't want to act the way they act. They're out of control. We don't want to function on the knowledge base that they think is smart, because, Lord, the fruit of it shows it's not very smart. But rather, we choose as the foundation of our lives the sure word that comes from you, inspired, inerrant, infallible, irrevocable. I'm telling you, Lord, thank you for your word. It is our guide to all matters of faith and conduct. And we love it so. We love it so. We love to love you. So tonight, as your children, we come to learn more about how to do business in a crooked world. A perverse world. It's really mixed up. So teach us your word. And we will live to the glory of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love all our hearts. In his name we pray. Amen. It's a fact, you know, that we need to learn how to live in a hostile environment. In fact, our subject this coming Sunday, deferred from moments ago before service, is how to live in the last days. How do you live a Christian life in a non-Christian context? How do you live a holy life in an unholy context? And scriptures have a very clear word. That's what we're going to teach on this Sunday. Okay? But tonight we're talking about doing business, and rather than go through all the... Well, let me see. Let me see. I can probably do it in five. There, I've just did number two. Business must never interfere with a proper relationship with God. Business must never interfere with my marriage. We spend a lot of time on that. And let me skip through here. I'm really going fast. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. It's a business principle. And we are children of the day, not children of the night. Should not work day and night. 6 days, not 6 days and nights, shalt thou labor. And we are the children of light. We are the children of the day. We are. Look at this. This is really kind of important. We are not of the night. Don't adopt a nighttime lifestyle. Better to have your day from sunup to sundown. We are not of the day, night, nor are we of the darkness. With the advent of electricity and lights, that has changed. And the temptation is to disregard night and to think that because we have artificial light, we can still function. The society may have a lot of nighttime events. I suggest that we resist them because we are the children of the day. We also learned that administrative employment, trying to get up the ladder of success, is not always getting ahead. Because sometimes we're the boss and you rule over another, but you do it to your own hurt. Being a boss is not a great job. And then we need to understand business, and we spend time on learning to do that. Let's learn how to understand investing. And the Scripture gives us exactly the ratios of how to invest. In different directions, so that if evil comes, we are not damaged. Learn that diligence is the key. You need to be faithful in money matters. Faithfulness to our own employer may lead to our own ownership of business. How can we ever be entrusted by God to own our own business if we're not faithful to that which somebody else's? Learn that we must serve God and not money. And let me just skip through this really quickly. And we learn that business is important, but it cannot be allowed to become too important. Everything in the Bible must be balanced. If we had a weigh scale here, the goal here is to be in balance. On one side over here is slothfulness. In other words, we don't care about business enough. Over on the other side is where we become ruled by business, and it masters us. And God wants us to live in balance here, where we're not slothful on the one side, but we're not ruled by business, because business is temporary, because it's not the main purpose of life. And it is decided from the Scriptures, we need to develop a mind to work. Why? When you got a mind to work, you get more work done in less time. It's amazing when you have a mind to work. I don't particularly like some jobs, work. Some work like writing is hard work. If I sit down to write, I can diddle, and it can take me hours to write a few paragraphs. If before I sit down, I develop a mind to work, that means I push everything else out of the way so my mind focuses on the work. I can actually write pages and pages in an hour. It all depends on whether we have a mind to work. We learn that we should work with all our might. Don't do anything half-heartedly. If it's worth doing, do it right. Do it with your might. We learn not to be too busy, because it can take us off track. We learn that we need to learn accounting. I can't emphasize that too much. And then we learn how to properly apportion our assets. That has to do with budget. That has to do with allocating funds to certain places strategically in order to be successful. And then we learn to listen to our authorities regarding business. Jesus wanted to be about his Father's, Heavenly Father's business. They said, "No way, son, you're coming home with us." And so he went back to Nazareth and was subject unto his parents. And that's pretty amazing. While he was subject unto his parents, there are four things that happen. Let me show you. There are four things that happen. I want every child, every young person, every teenager, listen to this really close. There are four things that occur when you are wise enough to be subject to your parents. Here is. Ready? You will increase in wisdom. That's number one. You will increase in stature. This isn't just physical. A man of stature is not a man of stature because he's 6'6", or 6'2", or 5'5". A man of stature is a man who has developed dignity, character. So by being subject to your parents, you will become a young man or a young woman of wisdom, and you will develop stature. Let me talk about stature a bit more. Stature has to do with poise. composure, strength to withstand. Stature has to do with a sense of valiant faithfulness. It has to do with not easily being blown around like everyone else is nearby. A man of stature is someone that people will esteem, not because of physical size, but because of the size of your heart and your ability to think wisely. Stature. Four things that happen to every young person who will listen to his father and his mother and follow their directions. Number one, you will increase in wisdom. Number two, you will increase in stature. Number three, you will increase, now watch this, in favor with God. Favor with God is a really good thing to have. You want the favor of God. Because the opposite to the favor of God is the resistance of God. You want God for you, or you want Him against you. So a child who is subject to his parents benefits by increased wisdom, increased stature, and he gets and develops favor with God. You cannot be right with God and be wrong towards your parents. Listen to the Word of God. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Listen to the Colossian passage. I believe it's Colossians. Where it talks to children about honoring and obeying their parents. Not only did it go well with them, but God will hold you. But God will do in your life because you honor your parents what He otherwise could not wisely do if you don't honor your parents. One of the keys to honor, to getting favor with God, one of the keys to getting favor with God is to be honoring and accepting, zealously accepting, of the parents that He entrusted you to. Because God's the one who chose your parents. There's a baby coming, but God put you inside that baby, and so He could have put you inside of any one of 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, but He didn't. He chose a specific mother who had a baby in her body, a fleshly body growing, developing into a baby. And God put you, because you are a spirit, and He put you in there. And if after you come out of the womb, and you've been out of the womb for a few years, and you are disrespectful and dishonoring to the one that infinite wisdom chose to be your father and mother, you will not get the favor of God. Follow? Number four. If you are subject, that is, yielding to the leadership, and I mean joyful, joyfully yielding to the leadership of your parents, you will grow in wisdom, you will grow in stature, you will grow in favor with God, and you will grow and increase in favor with men. Do you think there's any adult who respects a child or shows favor to a rebellious, disobedient child? I don't think so. You don't find favor with people. Because if you will do to your parents ugly things, people know you'll do ugly things to anybody. Anybody who turns on his father or his mother is capable of the most heinous crimes because he or she has turned against the one chosen by God for them and who has invested dollars and time for years. And then a child is disrespectful to that adult. This is criminal. This is why in the Old Testament there was a death penalty on children who raised their hand towards their parents. You will not get favor with men and you won't get favor with God. But the keys here are subject to your parents. You get these four favors. Now here's where we left off last week. Sunday morning. Need to stick to your own business. Now watch here. This is delightful. It's a successful business principle. Now, here's what the apostle says. We're beseeching you. We're urging you, brothers. Now watch it. That you increase more and more. And then this brotherly kindness thing is actually comes out of the verse above here, okay? We want you to increase in brotherly kindness, and we want you, too, to study to be quiet. And number three, to do your own business. To work with your hands, as we commanded you. Because if you will do this, you will be able to walk honestly towards them that are outside the church and those that are inside of the church. And look at this. And if you do this, you will lack nothing. You will have no lack if you do your own business. Now, there's a problem. And it was in the church back then. There are some which walk among you disorderly, not according to biblical order, not working, and you are busybodies. Now, a busybody is somebody who does somebody else's and meddles in somebody else's business other than their own. And so this was a problem in the church, so they had to give instruction. And especially, it occurred, or it occurred among married women because they got their chores done early and they ended up being idle. And they wandered from house to house. They didn't have telephones in those days. And they not only were idle, but they told tales and they were busybodies. And they would speak things which they ought not to speak. And here is the essence of what happens to a person who is a busybody. A busybody is busy in somebody else's business other than his own. And it's somebody else's business, and he's meddling with somebody else's business, giving instructions, taking over, and he says things which he ought not to say. And it could be as simple as giving them direction about their business when it's not your business. Let them learn their own business. Let them ride. Now, they ask and seek out your counsel. That's a different department, different category. But to be pushing ourselves into everybody else's business, several evils occur. One evil is this, that the person whose business you get involved in may not learn to wisely do their own business. They may learn to lean on your advice, and your advice may be faulty, and they could crash, and who will get the blame? You, because you got involved in somebody else's business, unsolicited, uninvited because you weren't doing your own. Now, normally when we get involved in somebody else's business other than our own business is suffering. So we study to be quiet and to do our own business, working with our own hands. And not becoming busybodies, be careful about giving advice to everybody every time you get a chance to. In the book of Proverbs, we learn that if indeed there is within our mouths the tongue of knowledge and wisdom, that others will seek us out to hear what's in our tongue. So, one should always be invited to express his opinion when it comes to somebody else's business. And it's a clear, proper thing to do is to make sure that person wants your advice before you go giving it. Even if the advice you got to them is to give them is deeply spiritual, deeply biblical, and wonderful, you will become known as a meddler and as a busybody sticking yourself into someone else's business. Be careful of it. Stick to your own business. So in order to help these women who were becoming busybodies, they were given instructions. Number one, get married. Number two, have children. That'll keep you busy. Number three, guide the house. Now, men need to see this part. Guide the house. That's the job given by God to women. Not the home, but the house. They are to, because the man's in the field all day. And the woman is in charge to guide the house. And that she should give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully because she was up here talking all the time. Let none of you suffer as a busybody in other men's matters. None of us. Not women, not men, not old, not young. Because you can get into trouble and suffer by getting into somebody else's business instead of your own. Now, having said that, that we should not meddle in someone else's business, it is plain in Scripture that Christians should help one another in business. Now, this is different. This isn't taking over the business thing or telling people how to run their business. It is noteworthy that the success of the Israelis, the Jewish people, is because they learn from the Torah to do business with one another as much as possible before going to the heathen to do business. And so, we as Christians, if we're going to give a profit to somebody, somebody's going to make a profit off of the purchase that we're about to make, I would rather a Christian make that profit than a non-Christian make that profit. It's kind of a part of a stewardship. Do you all understand that? Okay. There are companies that I don't do business with because they use the profits for matters injurious to the public good. You show me a company that supports Planned Parenthood, which is really planned destruction of babies, I'll show you a company that I don't want to do business with. Now watch this, though, because you have to be careful. Let's supposing that I'm to switch my business over to a Christian. I must be careful that I don't switch over to a Christian hoping the Christian will give me a better deal than the heathen will. And the reason, now watch this, because that would be a wrong motive for doing business. The motive for doing business with Christian is so that the profit that you are going, that's going to inure to the person providing the place or service or product or service, so that the profit that's in that goes into Christian pockets. Godly uses, righteous intentions. This to me is so basic. I try to live my life, and if anybody finds out that I don't, please let me know, because I wouldn't want to do that way. But if we hire somebody here at the church who is a Christian, I don't want to pay him less than I would pay the heathen to do the same job. Well, that's just plain unthinkable. I'm not trying to deal with Christians so I get the better deal. We should pay the fair market values. We should honor principles like this. The laborer is worthy of his hire. It's that simple. And because you're a Christian, I come to you and I want you to do something for me. You are worthy of your hire. And if my motive for getting you, a Christian, to do something for me is so I'll get a better deal, then I have bastardized the principles, the business principles of our Jewish heritage. Do you all follow that? You find a Christian selling it. Don't try to squeeze them so much. Give them more. Now watch, I want you to see this in Scripture, in precept. So Paul's saying, I want you to receive this woman, and I don't know how to pronounce her name, Phoebe, is what I would guess at. I want you to receive her in the Lord. Now watch this next phrase, because this is really neat. Because receiving her in the Lord is something that is very becoming to a Christian. To receive one another. You know, if someone's a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be really fussy, adamant, make sure that they are, that they sense your acceptance of them. This is becoming to saints. We receive, I mean, they, in the New Testament, they gave them the right hand of fellowship. That's a wonderful idea. It's an invisible connection among ourselves, to be accepting of one another. So here's this new Christian woman coming to town, and I want you to receive her in the Lord, because receiving her is becoming to a saint. Receive her in the right way. And that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. And she also has helped others and myself as well. And look at this. And greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, learning to help one another in the body of Christ. Christians should help one another in business. Help one another find jobs. Help one another get better jobs. Help one another get promotions. Help one another by dealing with one another fairly, honestly. It is a great reproach on the church, contemporary church, to hear people say, I'll never would do business with that Christian again, or that person again. He's a Christian. It's Christians, and business matters. We should be watching out for the other person's interest, financial as well as our own. And then lastly, learn how to invoke the blessing of the Lord on your business. and do it. Don't just learn how to do it. Do it. Invoke. The word invoke has to do with the word invitation. Invite the Lord to bless business. Now, this is not insignificant. Let me tell you how to get the Lord to respond to your invitation to bless your business. You ready? Because you know that all prayers, He doesn't just do everything we tell Him to. Isn't that a good thing? But how do you know that if you invoke the blessing of the Lord upon your business, how do you know that He will do it? Oh, did He? You think He said He would? Were there any ifs for that? Yeah. You have the right, and you can have a rightful expectation that God will bless your business if you do business the way God tells you to do business. In other words, you follow these business principles of the Bible. Add to that the financial principles of the Bible. If you do your business in conjunction with, in adherence to, in honor of His principles, then you can expect God to do just what you invite Him to do when you bless. When you say, God, I need you to bless my business. Because we're doing what He can wisely bless. So here's the scripture. Let's look at a couple of them. Let the beauty of our Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands. Upon us, the work of our hands. Establish thou it. God, wisely able to back your business. Because, watch this now, how do you get the stamp of approval from God? Say, angels, put the blessing on that business. How do you get the stamp of approval? Let me just tell you some of them right off the top of my head. Let me ask you a question. Let me put it into an interrogative. Do you think God would put the stamp of approval on a business where the owner of the business is dishonest, lies, cheats customers, steals, refuses to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's? Do you think God will put the approval on a business that knowingly sells inferior products or that sells products that are damaging to people? Don't know if you've ever read the history of the Salvation Army or not. Really worth a read. I love the Salvation Army. I love the Salvation Army. I love what it was. I like what it is, but I love what it was. My grandparents were raised in Salvation Army. My grandfather was the band leader, Earl's Court, Toronto, a band of about 70 pieces in the band. I love it because I love the story of General William Booth. I love it because their theme is blood and fire. William Booth. Here's this young guy, 18 years of age, turned street preacher on the streets of London, England. Transformed one night because a heckler in the crowd yelled at him and said, Booth, if I believed what you say you believe, that all men without Christ are lost eternally and damned, I would crawl halfway across the British Isles on broken glass to tell everybody. And that heckler changed William Booth, the junior street preacher, into a passionate man of God. The boldness fell on this young preacher, 18 years of age. He would get a few people to go with him, and they'd stand on the street corner and play their instruments and gather a crowd, and then he'd preach. Wasn't uncommon at all for them to have rotten food thrown at them, to be spat upon, to be ridiculed and mocked. But he carried about him. He was a man at 18 of great stature. At 18. Let me tell you. We've got time for a couple of stories. They were conducting a street meeting like this, and all his, he's got these other young teenagers with him, and they're out there playing their trumpets and blowing their horns and gathering a crowd, and Booth is preaching. And the crowd's listening to him, and then a horseman comes along at a gallop, stops right in the middle of this small band, stands high on his stirrups, undoes a scroll, and says, "In the name of the Queen of England, break up this unlawful assembly." And Booth walked over, 18 years of age. He said, "Sir, in the name of the King of Kings, get down off your horse." Took the door, the man got off his horse. God converted to Christ. Standing in the group, preaching. And there's a young man beside him that had just been playing the trumpet. And they started heckling and they started spitting. And the young man beside him got a big gob of human spittle on his jacket. And the young man reached into his pocket to get out a handkerchief to wipe it off. He was about to wipe it off, and Booth stopped him and said, "Don't wipe that off. That's a medal." And he birthed an awesome movement that in its days, within 20 years, by when Booth was 38, 20 years later, he had over 10,000 full-time officers in the ministry around the world. In the city of London, they had homes for prostitutes. They had homes for drug addicts and alcoholics. Now let me get back to what I was going to tell you about business. Because one of the things that happened in England during those days is that the company that made matches that when they struck the chemicals used in the making of a match had health hazards to it. If you inhaled the smoke from the initial striking of the match, people would get sick. So Booth went to see the manager, the owner. He said, "Sir, you need to put these people first. You need to change your chemicals. You need to do something for these people." And a man said, "And if I don't, what will you do about it?" And Booth said, "I'll start a match company, sir, and I'll run you out of business." The company did not change. And Booth started a match company, put him out of business. Those were horrendous days in history, when human life was thought not highly up. Children were forced to work in slavery. Men had to work in hazardous conditions, the earliest of hours to the latest of hours. And God decided in the middle of all of that religious iniquity to raise up a street preacher who in 20 short years hundreds, millions converted to Christ. My point was simply this, that doing business and invoking the blessing of God can be done with confidence when you're doing business God's way. Now let me close with another little secret. Tonight, if you were leaving the auditorium and I could stand at the back door, and when every one of you walked by, I reached into my pocket and pulled out 3 or 4 diamonds and put them in your hands to take them with you. If I did that tonight, you would not be as rich as you will be if you learn what I'm about to tell you now. God intends your business, your enterprise, functioning on His terms, to be blessed. And He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to drop into your thinking an idea that's worth more than 5 diamonds. And if you get it, it will be better than rubies. And it will be better than everything else that you desire. In fact, look at this. Nothing you receive compares. If I could give you a pocketful of diamonds tonight, or better than that, rubies. Did you know rubies are worth more than diamonds? Nothing else that you desire can be compared to this. Now watch it. Because when you get the wisdom of God, look at, I wisdom, I dwell with prudence, and I find out a knowledge of witty inventions. How many witty inventions do you need? Man was walking through the field one day and got burrs stuck on your pants. He went home, cut the pants out, piece out where the burrs were. Got a microscope out and studied that. And do you know what the product we have today is? Velcro. And every piece of Velcro that's bought around the world, he gets a piece of the profits. I am persuaded that if we will do business God's way and thus have confidence in invoking the blessing of God on our business, and we do what God says, and remember what He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all they getting, get understanding. And I, wisdom, who dwell with prudence. Look at this. I find out knowledge of witty like really smart inventions. I personally am in favor of the work ethic. I'm in favor of a job, and I'm in favor of putting time in, doing diligence to the job. But not at the expense of becoming a slave to a job. I'm of the persuasion that Almighty God, our Father, who we reverence, not like his rebellious children who have turned their back on him and do their own thing and become stupefied, dumbed down. Even though they're intellectually smart, they're dumb. That we who are the children of God, I think we have limited God. And we need to take the limitations off God. Because 40 hours a week is a lot of time. And I personally would like to see Christian men get the same income or 10 times as much in 10 hours instead of 40. But let me tell you why I don't think it's happening. Huh? Because if the man who's doing 40 could make the same amount in 10, he would take the 30 that he doesn't have to work and not use it with wisdom and prudence and knowledge and understanding. He would squander that on who knows what. Say, well, how do you know that? Because in Genesis, after the fall, remember? There's this phrase in there that astounds me. Here's what it is, and with this I'll close. Cursed shall be the ground for your sake. See, when there were no weeds, it was easy. You just walked through the fields. Everything was, you just picked what you wanted to eat. Oh, man. You fellowshiped with your wife. You looked after the kids and you played in the garden and you worked it a little bit, but it wasn't hard work because there were no weeds. With no curse. You've heard the old adage. Listen to it again. Idle hands are the devil's tools, the devil's workshop. A rightly related to God person would not take the 30 hours he saved and squander it. So God can trust him with a witty invention because he has wisdom and he dwells with prudence and he's able to find out the knowledge of witty invention. If we could find out witty inventions, the danger is that we should use it wastefully and our time would be used to be entertained, self-gratified, but God, I suggest to you, sincerely, wants to be able to bless your business, bless the hands, and he wants you to have wisdom and dwell with prudence. And find out the knowledge. Some witty inventions. Millions of dollars can come your way. I don't think we as a Christian church have begun to tap in to the good things God has prepared for them that love Him. Eye has not seen it. Ears not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And isn't it strange that everybody reads that verse and stops right there and thinks that's about heaven? That verse has nothing to do with heaven at all. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And God reveals it unto us by His Spirit. My prayer for you is that all of us would so conduct our business that God, when we invoke the blessing, it just falls on us. Let your families be blessed. Let your job, let your future, let your education, everything. For it is God that gives you the power to create wealth. Don't seek the wealth, seek the giver. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.